Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're doing great. And I'm wondering who else is as excited as I am that it's finally October, the best month of the year. Who's with me? Come on. Well, it is my birthday month. We've got a few more weeks before it then. But besides that, for so many reasons, I love October. Now, I am recording this a little bit in advance, but as this episode airs, I should be just getting back from a trip to both Arizona and then on to Oregon, where I am hoping that I got my fall fix. So you can check my email. Hopefully you are on my email list because I'll definitely be sharing some photos and a little update. But my husband and I are going to visit his dad and a couple other friends and do a quick trip where I am counting on seeing some fall leaves, maybe a little color change, and at least get that little fall chill in the air, which is my favorite. So wherever you are, if you have fall, just enjoy it for me, okay? And I do love it when you send me photos, so you are welcome to email me a photo of your fall leaves. I truly enjoy those. And you can email me at aloha@monicaswanson.com. Also, that's where you send in questions if you want me to consider your questions for an upcoming Q&A or maybe a topic suggestion or an interview request. So definitely email me. Don't be a stranger. I love to hear from you. But now I'm coming back to Hawaii, where October is exciting in its own way. After living here for 22 years, I have learned to enjoy and appreciate fall in Hawaii, which though we don't have leaves changing, we don't have a chill in the air, we do have waves on the North Shore, and that is quite the excitement around here. Luke will be on island surfing, training. The contest season is coming up. A lot of pros come to town in October and November, so there's just a really special vibe in the air on our North Shore. So I've learned to enjoy that, even if it's not the same as the Pacific Northwest where I grew up. But anyways, I love fall, so enjoy it for me if you've got it. Now, today on the podcast, I have somebody who will be seeing fall because she lives in my home state of Washington State. I get to talk to Sarah Molitor, who you may know from her amazing Instagram feed. She's at Modern Farmhouse Family. That's where I first discovered her, as she shares the most adorable pictures of her, hello, seven children. And yes, six of them are boys. So six boys and a darling baby girl, which... no, I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous. No, truly, I'm really happy for her. And I also can't imagine the energy it must take to keep up with all those kids. But she is doing an amazing job of it. And she has recently released a new book that I love so much. And I wanted to have Sarah on to talk about it because I think it's such an important topic. Her book is called Well Said: Choosing Words That Speak Life, Give Grace, and Strengthen Your Faith and Family. Now, I appreciate so much Sarah's honesty, vulnerability here as she shares her story, which I think is a lot like my story and maybe some of yours too, if you've ever struggled with using your words for good. Some of us who tend to use our words all the time as talkers, we can use that gift that God's given us of our words to tear others down when we're stressed, when we're tired. Sometimes our husbands are the target of some harsh words, right? Maybe our kids as well. Well, Sarah is sharing her journey, really growing it through that. She would say she hasn't fully overcome it, but I think she's done an amazing job. And now she's encouraging others. And I actually took a lot of notes while we were talking. So definitely go over to show notes. And I've written down a few things that I took, some quotes and some of her lists. And you can find show notes today at monicaswanson.com/Sarah-Molitor. And that's M-O-L-I-T-O-R. But friends, I think you'll find this conversation so encouraging. Sarah's super funny and super real, and I just feel like I have a new really good friend, and I hope you feel that way even as you just listen. So wherever you are, thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of this community. Please do take a minute to share this podcast with a friend. And once again, I say it almost every week, if you haven't left a rating or review yet, it would mean the world to me if you could just pause even right now, scroll down on your phone to where you see those 5 stars, tap on them, and even better, would you leave a couple words about what you love most about the Monica Swanson podcast? That helps get this podcast in front of more people and helps our community grow. So thank you in advance for doing that. And now, without further ado, let's jump in and talk to Sarah Molitor about choosing words that speak life. I hope you're encouraged. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, we already kind of got carried away chatting and found like a gazillion connections. So it's kind of wild in this world how God connects people through so many different ways. But before we jump in and start chatting away, can you just tell people who you are, what you do, and a little about your family?
Yes, I am first a wife and second a mother of 7 little ones, and they range in age from 11 all the way down to 5 months. So when I say like, you know, wild, joy, all the things, chaos, mess, like all those things are like a part of my everyday and the season I'm in right now. But my husband and I, we live in Central Washington. I'm from Oregon, and we're raising our family on a few little acres out here, you know, not enough to have a cow and sheep and a goat, but enough that I can say, go outside and explore, and they can do that. Uh-huh. So I'm thankful for that.
Wow. Wow. So fun. And tell us where you're from in Oregon and Washington so we get that picture.
Yeah. In Oregon, I was born and raised along the Columbia River in what we call the Columbia Gorge, and right at the base kind of Mount Hood, and real forest, you know, river, beautiful mountain, all this like undulation. And I moved to smack dab in the middle of Washington where it is flat. There are water towers and there is no mountain and forest. And it was quite the shock, but this is home and I love it. I love both, but I love where I am now.
Right. And fun fact for listeners, you and I just chatted how my first few years of marriage when Dave and I lived in Oregon, we spent a lot of time in the Columbia Gorge where you're from. Yeah. And Dave was a mad, passionately crazy windsurfer. That's back crazy. Then. And I don't know if anyone knows windsurfers, but there's a certain kind of addiction with windsurfing that is unique to all others. But we spent a lot of time out there and it is so beautiful. It is. So I'm sure you miss that. Do you still have family there?
Yep. Still have some family there. One sister and my parents and my grandparents. So I'm thankful it's only 3 hours away. And every time we drive that strip of the freeway down there, my boys point out all the kiteboarders, all the windsurfers.
Oh, yeah. It's probably more kiteboarding now, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. And now Central Washington. So, wow. And how long have you been there?
We have been here now 13 years, married 14, and then we've both finished up school the first year, so here 13.
Okay, and I don't think you and I covered, how did you meet your husband?
So this is kind of a fun story. My husband, think father of the bride, he has 5 older siblings, and he was born when his parents were 45 and 50. And there they were like, happy 25th anniversary. We are having a baby. And at the same time, their oldest daughter was having her second child. Like they were pregnant at the same time, like 3 weeks apart.
What?
And so my husband was born right ahead of his second nephew. And yeah, so I actually grew up with his oldest sister's kids. They are now my nieces and nephews, but they were my friends, both still. That's a little wild. So he would come down and visit his sisters / his nieces and nephews because they were all the same age. And he would come to our church because we went to the same church. And anyway, we met one day. We would all go on a hike every week one summer. And he came down unbeknownst to me to ask me on a date. And we ended up hiking the whole way up, flirting the entire way down, deciding we were in love and going to be married that night. And
stop.
No, seriously. No, it was like very, very fast.
This is the best.
Everyone was like, you guys are nuts. You need to stop. You need to slow down. You're 19 and 20. Like, and we were like, no, we know. And
this is crazy.
A week later, he was like, I love you and I need to tell the whole world. And 3 months later, we were engaged. And the next summer, we were married. So there you go.
Oh my goodness. That is like the best story ever.
Yeah,
that is
yeah,
so cool.
Fun.
I love it. My sons will be encouraged. They want it to be that easy.
Yeah, that easy at the time.
They're like, we don't want a date. We just want to find the right person, figure it out, and get married.
Yeah, so, totally.
That is such a good story. Oh, I love it. Well, your husband looks like a great guy.
Yeah.
And looks like you two have a lot of fun. And mm-hmm. you already mentioned you got a house full of kids.
Oh, my goodness.
And they are all darling.
Thank you.
And we're going to link. I'm sure most people have seen you on social media. But they are absolutely darling, and they all know how to like pose perfectly, and they look like they're having fun doing it. It doesn't look like they're being tortured.
Yeah.
So tell us just a little bit. We're going to get into our topic today for sure. Mm-hmm. But I just got to know like a little more about the family. Like, when did you always know you wanted a bunch of kids? How did it all happen? How did it play out from, and you've got seven.
Yep.
Is that the end, or are we still open to more?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get there.
Okay. Start from the beginning.
Start from the beginning. I think, I don't think I ever would have said seven kids. I would have said I came from a family of four. He came from a family mm-hmm. of six. And we would have both said four easily. Like mm-hmm. that's a big family. That's great. And mm-hmm. you know, then we had four and it just was like, oh, one might be missing. So we had five. And then at that time.
Okay. Real quick though, those first five, like were they, was first four before? Yeah. Was that like, things are just great? Like,
no,
was it easy?
I would say that's the interesting part. I like, and when you read the first chapter of
Yeah,
Will
I was going to say,
People will be like, I don't know that I like Sarah. I like Tim, but I don't know that I like Sarah, but just stick with me till chapter two. Like, I promise you'll like me.
No, we all are you. We relate. Yeah, I promise.
That was the hard season. The one to two, mm-hmm. terrible. Mm-hmm. Two, really difficult. And mm-hmm. then we kind of hit our stride, you know, maybe 9 months to a year after two, and felt like our marriage was rebuilding. And we'll talk about that a little bit more and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And then three felt a little bit easier because we were being better communicators in our marriage, and our marriage was, mm-hmm. you know, flowing a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So four came. And at that point, we probably felt like we were in a pretty sweet season. So five felt pretty doable. At five, mm-hmm. I think my husband would have said, I'm good. And he probably did. Mm-hmm. He probably was like, I'm good. Five's good. And mm-hmm. I was like, I just really feel like I have another one in me. And then at six, mm-hmm. he was like, I'm good. We're good. And I was like, I really feel like we might have seven in us. And so we really prayed about that. And you know, I didn't want to jump ahead. I could have easily kept having kids all the time. I think that's just my personality. Mm. It felt manageable. Okay. And,
wow.
And he was very much like, I don't know that that's where I'm at. Like, I don't want to get mm-hmm. over capacity, you know, and not feel like I can give attention to everyone.
Sure.
Which totally. Is fair. So really spent some time praying about that. At the point we decided, like, you know what, we do think we want to have a seventh child. I think mm-hmm. it was pretty much like the next day we found out I was pregnant. So praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We found that out.
And that was the daughter, right?
And that was her. And that was shock of a lifetime. We were so entrenched, as you know, like in being boy parents, like I love being a boy mom. Mm. And at that point I was really gung ho, like seven boys. Like I would have told you at one or two children that I would have loved having a girl, and like more than anything, I would have wanted a girl to add to our bunch. And by six, I was like, I'm good. Like I really want boys. Like I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And so that total thing of people coming up to you, like you train for a girl, it was not.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we're good, to the point, like mm-hmm. we're about to blow the cannons for the gender reveal. And I'm saying, it's going to be blue. I am thrilled. Like I am so happy. And it came out pink, and I was like, oh my goodness,
shock.
Like shock. So anyway, yeah, that's where we were. And as far as now, we are very happy and peaceful at seven. And,
seven's a great number.
It's a great number. And if you want a little fun, like laugh we've gotten, she was born at 7 p.m., weighing 7 pounds, 7 ounces, and she's our seventh child. And someone said, like, if you guys don't get the hint from the Lord that you're done, like, I think you're good. Like, you're not listening. I know.
Completion.
So we were laughing at that. But
interesting.
I had told him, don't tell me you're done. Like, I just need to know for myself. But the Lord really spoke that to me in his own way. So very grateful for that. And we're very, very happy.
Wow. Oh, that is so awesome. And what a life this little girl's going to have growing up with all those brothers.
Oh my goodness.
No boys will ever have the guts to come around, right? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And you homeschool.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Have you done that from the beginning?
Did that from the beginning. This is our sixth year. And I'm adding in our fourth little one today, or not today, but you know, this month.
Yes.
And he'll be starting kindergarten. So I'll have all those different grades. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Well, I love all of that. And I just think that having a lot of kids is so great. And if anything, I always say, no one regrets having more kids.
Yes.
You might regret stopping, but
yeah.
I always tell younger moms that when we had three, we thought we were done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful we didn't do anything permanent because it was 6.5 years later, right before I turned 40, that we were like, should we have one more? And like you, I was pregnant like in a week. And so I'm really grateful because our last little guy adds so much. Someone just said, he's the extra spice in your family.
Oh, I love
that. You know what? He is the extra spice. So yeah, so you've got a full family and they are darling. And that's where we were. And you're homeschooling.
Yes.
And so you've got four to homeschool plus the little ones. Mm-hmm. That can be complicated, but I always tell people it really blesses even the little students to have the little ones around that just, there is learning going on in all
those
things. So yes. Yeah. So, well, it's going to be an adventure. And through all of this, God's been teaching you a lot and you have a book that as this comes out, we'll have just released.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you tell us the story of how that book came to be and what people will find in it?
Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, there was that moment or moments building up to where we had about when we had our second little one and our marriage, I wouldn't say it was bad. I just wouldn't say I was in a healthy place. There was a lot of discontentment, a lot of resentment, a lot of disappointment, not in my husband, not in our family, but just in me, in my heart, not settling into the circumstance or place God had plopped me in, right?
Totally.
And so that started manifesting in my words and the way I spoke to my husband, which bummer for him, but I'm thankful.
No.
I felt like Tim was built in with about 100 extra measures of grace, like, and probably just for me for those moments. And I, you know, not that I wished he had that, but it's just the way it went. And through that season, it kind of culminated to this moment where we had a blowout. And it really was me. And in that, I kind of got a, whatever, you know, Holy Spirit kick in the pants from my parents to say like, hey, like, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, you can make a choice to be content in your season, suck the blessing out of the city you're in, do all you can, because the other option just isn't sustainable, right? And it obviously hasn't been for you. And they had recognized that. And so at that moment, there was enough, you know, Holy Spirit conviction. There was enough, you know, outward conviction from people saying like, I can see this, that it was enough to make me want to change and not just change temporarily, but really do a heart change in how I spoke. And then also understanding that that wasn't just for my marriage, but it was for my children and the future children I would have and down the road. And so that's where the message of Well Said comes from. It comes from those moments and everything after. And I'm so thankful. To write a book would have been a dream. I would have never, you know, gone after, but it was there. And the opportunity when it presented itself, they said, what would be your life message? And I knew instantly what that was. There was no question what that message would be. And so through the whole process, God has just been so faithful to, it felt like one big therapy session. I'm sure you can like relate to that a little bit as like you're writing out. It feels like that. And it still feels like that. Even like talking to you about it feels like a counseling session almost, but in a really what look what God has done way on the other side of it. I'm still learning, but you know, on a, at least a healthier other side of where I was.
That is so good. And what I just love and admire, and I think one of the things that has just drawn me back to you again and again, is just that in that process, I mean, how often we do feel some conviction, but it's pretty easy to write that off, to justify it, to be like, oh, just say no to mom guilt. That's one of the topics that comes up, which we all know there's a bad mom guilt, right? There's the kind that we do say no to. But sometimes if we just look to the right people, they're going to tell us, you are justified. You have every reason to speak this way, think this way. And so I just give you so much credit for A, listening to the Holy Spirit, and B, listening to your folks. Can you tell us, because this too is good encouragement for us parenting as our kids grow up. I like your parents. Tell me how, did you reach out and say like, I need some counsel, or did they just come to you and say like, I'm seeing something? How did all that play out?
So can I just tell you, one of the themes in my childhood, and I try to remember this as a parenthood, as a parent, was that my dad would consistently say, Sarah, if you can learn to be teachable, like if nothing else, if you can learn to be teachable, even when it doesn't feel good, like whether that's in sports, because I did those, whether that's in life, whether it's in school, like you are going to go farther. And I can tell you, even still today, sometimes, you know, I'll hear something that I don't like, but I know it's right. And I have, and I tell myself, I don't like that, but I'm going to practice being teachable, even though I don't like it, just because I feel like that's something that my parents really built in me, that you're going to practice it even when you don't like it. So I had actually called them that night of the blowout. Like my husband, he walked out the door and he said, I'm going to give you a break. Like you're obviously, you need a break. You've said a lot.
Wow.
And I did. And I don't think we talked again that night. It was pretty bad. And I am pretty hurtful. And I called my mom in hopes that she would back me up, that she would come alongside and say, you're my daughter. Of course, I'm going to like side with you. And what I got instead was my mom listened for a couple minutes. And what I got instead was my dad on speakerphone. Thanks, mom.
There
and,
we go.
And my mom was like, it's your dad's turn now. He wants to talk to you. And I got everything, but I back you up, which was good. It was, it was, we love you, but because we love you, this is what we're seeing. And you're not going to make it unless you make a change. And that hurt. But I think the Holy Spirit had already been doing work in my heart to where I was able to bend to that a little bit. And like my heart heard that. And even though it hurt, it was like that teachability came in. I thought, okay, like I don't like this. It hurts, but what's the alternative, right? Like what's happening also hurts. And so what am I going to lose trying something different and trying to step out of this? And so I think deep down I knew that, but I'm so thankful that they were willing to say something. You know, what is that verse in Proverbs that says, you know, open rebuke is hidden love, or open rebuke is better than hidden love. I think like something like I'd rather have a parent that says, I don't think you're going to like what's going to happen with this, than a parent that hides their love and just says, oh, just, you know, you'll make it, you'll be fine.
Exactly.
And so.
And your parents knew you well enough.
They
and
did.
Your husband, I would imagine that if there was some reason, they would have, but they knew what was true.
And I think as a child, I've left that door open. I've said, you have a door into my life, and I've allowed that. So I think there's, it's a two-way street. Like some people don't want to leave that door open for their parents. You know, it's a hard thing.
Right. And really with leaving and cleaving, you know, you could have just said, I've got this. Thank you. Not really open to it. But I think there's so much wisdom in you leaving that door open. And we should probably all do that a little more, because most of our parents have wisdom from all their years and they do know us pretty well. So that is such a cool story. So tell your parents, give them a high five from me.
I will.
And I think that, you know, that's just that whole, I don't think our generation's great at that. Just doing the hard things, giving our kids the hard word that they need to hear. That's really for their best. So, wow. So good. Okay. So you got to share your story. You did such a great job. Like I said before we started, your writing drew me in right away. And no, I didn't dislike you. I liked you from the first chapter, because I'm like, okay, she's telling my story too. So I think we're all going to relate. But can you kind of just walk us through that process? Like from that moment, practically speaking, you don't just change overnight. You've still got patterns and habits and thoughts. Tell us kind of what that looked like, and then people can go to the book to read the full story.
And I still have those patterns and habits and thoughts that I'm working through.
It doesn't ever go away.
It's shocking.
Darn.
Yeah, the practical side of it first was forgiveness. I mean, I feel like you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to grow anywhere until you ask for forgiveness for maybe the damage that's been done or the things, even if it feels irreparable, right? Like it's not, and there is forgiveness. And I think that's the cool thing about seeing it from the other side now as a parent, like knowing the grace God gave me and the redemption God gave me allows me to even parent a little bit more in that grace and that redemption from that perspective. Yeah. But forgiveness was the first thing. I knew that I needed to make a heart change, but I also knew that I needed to verbalize that the same way I asked my children to when harm's been done to each other is the same thing. So I verbally asked for forgiveness. I listed out some pretty yucky things that I had said. I recognized
hard.
I owned it. It was not fun. I also gave a little gift to Tim because I felt like, you know, again, another proverb, like gift makes way for the giver, right? Like if I could
I got
him like, I don't like coffee, but he loves coffee. So I got him coffee, dark chocolate, and a flannel. Those were like the three things and he left.
Okay, everyone, I hope you're taking notes. This is countercultural and I couldn't love it anymore.
Oh man, it was practical. So forgiveness, I made a gift, I wrote a card, and then because I had used my words in a damaging way over the years, I mean, not just a one-time offense, I felt like I needed to use my words to build him up. So I spent a day writing out 50 things I love about my husband. And he still has that paper on the top of his dresser. I could find it right now and he holds on to it. I should probably write like part two, you know, like 14 years later. Can I just tell you that at first it didn't feel forced that I loved him. I loved my husband. That wasn't the question. You know, the question wasn't, is our marriage going to work? That wasn't it. It was just, are you going to keep damaging what's here? And so I loved him, but it was hard in the middle of what you feel like you're right and you're right to say these things. It was hard to say the opposite thing and write it down. Yeah. So it started something like, I like it that you wear a backwards hat. I think you're cute. You know, like that type of thing. But down the line to 50, it got a lot more. I appreciate how you honor others. I appreciate how you love the, you know, I really tried to dig deep. And when he read those things, so much healing, right? Like so much healing happened, not just for him, but for me too, to realize like, those are things I wrote. Those are things I truly believe. And those are what I want my words to reflect. I don't want my words to reflect the other things. Those aren't truth. That's not who you are. And that's not what God says you are. I want them to reflect what I know to be true about you. And that was kind of that first day, day one. Day one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I want to take a quick second to tell you about a pretty great math curriculum. Whether you homeschool your kids or they go to school but could use a little extra help at home with their math skills, CTC Math is a great option I hope you'll check out. Now, I've written a little review of CTC Math over on my blog. I'll link to that in show notes. Or you can go directly to the ctcmath.com website and see everything that's in there. But I want to tell you a couple really cool features. See, CTC Math uses adaptive questions. These are interactive questions that change in difficulty depending on your student's ability. They use a smart algorithm that tracks your student's progress and delivers questions based on their needs. The student won't even know this is happening, and this helps them build confidence and master concepts. Now, I love their video tutorials. They are short, like 4 to 9 minutes long, so they don't drag it out all day, but they keep them interesting, interactive, and really fun, and their lessons are clear, complete, and so easy to follow. Now, there's a whole lot more great features that you'll want to check out over at the ctcmath.com website. One thing I love is that CTC Math offers a 12-month money-back guarantee, no questions asked. So really, you've got nothing to lose. Check them out. Let me know what you think. Again, there will be a link in the show notes or go to ctcmath.com and can't wait to hear how you like it. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently, I was able to order mylifeinabook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code Monica at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's mylifeinabook.com and use code Monica for 10% off today. That's beautiful. I mean, you've got me like tearing up and reflecting, like, shouldn't we all do that? Like, what a gift. And I'm kind of guessing that the words that you were owning up to and needing forgiveness for were probably, and again, we don't want to justify things, but probably not even that bad. When you look at the world and the way people speak, they were probably very much the things that many of us speak without thinking, because we take for granted, right, that those people are going to keep loving us, right, that they know us well, right, that we're just having a bad day, we're stressed, right, we're overwhelmed. And so I think we could all pause and reflect and say, is this something, is there a pattern that has become a habit in our own lives that we could
And I think words are so easy to say, but the other thing that I think about is I can feel, still to this day, I can feel the intention behind the words I was using. You know, I was using them with a certain motivation. And I think that's a big thing, is like, what's motivating our words? Like, what? And my motivation was to hurt. My motivation was, if I'm going to go down, you're going to go down with me. Yeah. And like, I'm going to pull you down. And I feel miserable because I don't like this, and this, and I want this, and this. And so I'm going to make you feel miserable with me. And so, you know, it's not just healing the words we say. I think that's so easy. Like, you can stop saying a certain word, right? That's just a habit. I can stop saying, you know, whatever. It's the same way your children say a word funny and you're like, no, it's pronounced this way. Like, you can teach that. But it's the heart change and the intention and the motivations behind what we're saying, you know, that need the change too.
Right. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Jesus's words. And so can you just give us a little insight into that part? Like, how did you begin the heart work?
Well, I think first that started as habit. I mean, I know it started as habit. It felt,
which sometimes
it felt forced, like, right? You're practicing. I mean,
fair enough.
I would, you know, say something and it felt forced and it felt like, I don't really mean that. But that was part also of that dying to self. Like, I'm not going to say what I want to say because I'm not always right. And when you, which, I mean, I'm chatting your head off, Monica, which you're giving me space
to. I'm loving this. But when taking notes.
But when you're a chatterbox, when you're, when words flow easily for you, it's easy to string them together to make them sound good and say what you want to say. I can, my husband always jokes, he's like, you should have been a lawyer. And I'm like, oh no, that's not, if you knew me, that's not me at all. But he's like, because you're so good with words, like you can, and that is a gift and a hard thing to work through.
A liability. Well, I've felt convicted myself because I'm like, my husband is a quieter person and I'm sure he could have much more against me than I do against him. But because I'm the talker, that is a gift, but we can also use it in really harmful ways. So it is a responsibility something to steward well, which is what your book is all about. Yeah. And you reflect back on being a child who was a chatterer as well, right? Just like me. Yes. Teachers had to ask you to talk less in class and some great stories. But how's the process been since? Like, do you feel like you've got new habits? Give us some hope that this.
Oh, totally. There's absolutely hope. That's like my favorite part. I feel like, you know, you get into this dive and you're like, are we going to come out of this? Yes, you are. Like, you are going to come out of this. And I think the hope is that eventually those habits they become part of you. They won't become habitual anymore. It'll just become who you are, and you will naturally say those things. And that doesn't mean, and I love to say this in the book, like, it doesn't mean you walk around like a positive Polly. Like, I'm not like trotting around my house, like, life, I'm speaking life into everyone, you know, like all of that. That's not what it means, but it means that you know the other side and you're walking in the freedom and you know how that feels. And so of the two, you continually choose the one that brings fruit and life into your home, even though you may fall back, you know, every other time, you know, the steps to get out of it even. Yeah. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that what started as habit has become a part of me, but it's not without practice. And so as I practiced more, there were times and there were conversations that one of the things I had to do was invite my husband in. I had to say, okay, like, game plan. We need a game plan. When I get worked up, I want to tell you basically that I can't stand your guts, right? Like, and I want to say every mean thing about you, even though that's not true. I love you and that's not true. But like, I don't want to say those things. How can I not say those things? And he was like, well, I think that I can almost see it on you when you get that way. And so I think we just take a break. I will just walk out. And I'm not walking out of the house. Like, I'm not like driving away, but he's like, I'm just going to like go to a different room, give us space, 'cause I can see it. And so that is literally what he did. We would like be in a conversation. He'd say, I can see you're getting worked up. I think you're going to say something you regret. And I don't want to say that because it hurts. So why don't we take a break? And sometimes that break was him walking out and me standing there fuming about ready to say what I wanted to say, but I didn't get the opportunity because he had a healthy boundary to just say, you're going to take a break, you know? And eventually
so somebody's asking here though, and it might be me.
Yeah.
How do you not chase him into the next room? Because when I'm worked up, I'll be like, wait, I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
Did you just have to use super self-control because you knew this was part of a planned?
Yeah. Like, and I think that's something you just have to resolve in yourself. This isn't worth it. I could win with my words, but I'm going to lose. And so, I just had to resolve that in myself. That was something I had to do. And so it got easier and easier and easier. And then one of the things he said to me one time really made a difference for me and still does today. He said, if you were being video recorded,
oh man, right.
You would like think you're like, I know that was enough. The other thing he said,
that was good.
The other thing he said is if I called you what you just called me, you would be in tears. I know you would be. And I was like, I know I would be too. And that has replayed in my head even up until last week. You know, when I want to say something and I want to say you, I literally hear in my head, like, if Tim called you that, what would you do? Yeah. And I think I would want to punch his face out. So knowing that he's not going to do that to me, I'm not going to do that to him. But like, that was enough for me. That was enough to stick with me. So yes, there are like some practical things. Then there are some things you just have to resolve in yourself. I'm going to do this because what's the alternative? And then there are some things you have to carry with you to remind you years later that you're not going to go back to that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super practical. And the book has lots more of those practical steps. I love that. And I'm thinking of the verse, he who's been forgiven much loves much. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I have worked on my words over time too, it's just that humility of going like, who am I? Like having those moments in my quiet time with the Lord where I'm like, I am so aware of my own sin nature and like all of my faults that I should have nothing but love and grace to extend to everybody around me. Because if I had a true moment where I stood face to face with the Lord, I'd be like, done.
Have you ever like pictured that? Like sometimes in my head, this is like my holy imagination here. Like I picture myself standing in front of the Lord and like this scroll coming undone, you know, where we're going to have to account for every word spoken, every thought, everything
careless
we had.
Word spoken.
Right. And like, I imagine the scroll just like unrolling till the ends of the earth, like of just me. And in that moment, like you said, I am so aware, and that's almost enough to make me go, okay, I'm just going to leave that one word for now. Maybe I'll take that one off the scroll. Like maybe we'll just leave that one off.
Seriously, you know, we don't need it. Oh.
It's almost like that image is enough to be like, okay, that's good. Thanks, Lord.
I so get you. And appreciate that you've tackled this. And I love too that you've really gone through this, that the Lord's been so gracious to teach you all this while your kids are young, because as much as our words can really hurt our husbands, certainly we know that words can really damage children. Mm-hmm. And I know in my early years of parenting, I've shared that that was when I struggled the most with my anger and saying things that I regret. And still to this day, that would be my go-to if I'm at the end of my wits and just stressed and overwhelmed. Yeah. It's the words. And so how important that we take this seriously. Mm-hmm. And for anyone listening that like is becoming aware that maybe you've got some issues with your own words, I'd say there is so much grace. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, there's so much hope. But I encourage people to take it serious. Don't just write it off and think it's just part of motherhood, because it doesn't have to be.
Yes, so, I love that you said that. That's super important.
I would love to hear you talk about if a friend came to you with her struggles with communication, because when people ask me like, what do I do about something? I often will say, what would you tell a friend? If your friend was going through that, we're usually more gracious and encouraging, and we can think more practically for a friend than ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if a friend came to you struggling with communication, like what are some of the words you would say over coffee to a friend?
I think I would first start with prayer. Like just like, let's pray about this. Because I think when you're in the middle of it, that sounds so silly, but it's not. Because when you're in the middle of it, the last thing you're looking to is the Lord. Like you're either looking for validation or you're looking for an easy way out, and there's no easy way out. And so only the Lord can cover those gaps. So I would first say, have you prayed about this? What is the Lord telling you? Have you sought counsel? Like maybe the friend is the counsel. Have you sought wise counsel? Someone who has your best interest at heart, but also has your, if it's your spouse, you know, the other party's best interest at heart too. Because it's, how easy is it in our culture to find someone who will back us up, right? Like we could turn left or right and like, it's so easy. Yep. So find that trusted person that's going to look at you like my parents looked at me, because they love you, and is going to say the hard things because they love you. Yes. And when you find that person, be honest. I think the easiest thing to do is to almost downplay our sin. I don't want people to know all the things I said, but how does that help anyone if I'm downplaying my sin and saying like, oh yeah, I struggled with it. Oh yeah, we had that moment in marriage early on. Oh, you'll get through it. Like you'll, you know, I don't want to downplay the yuckiness because it's yucky.
Yeah.
I want to expose it, because bringing things to the light allows the Lord to do his best work. When we keep it hidden, if we only throw a bone and hold back the rest, the Lord can only do so much.
Totally.
So I would almost want to say, when you go to the person that you've, you know, spoken to, whether it's your children, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a friend, whoever it is, you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to say for what. When I ask my children, you know, I'm sorry for hitting you. Mm-hmm. Will you please forgive me for punching you in the arm? Mm-hmm. I really work on that in my kids, because I want them to verbalize the yucky sin, not to make themselves feel bad, but to get it out and let it be exposed so that the Lord can do his work. So that person can say, I know, I see that you recognize. So when I go to Tim and I say, I am so sorry for calling you an idiot and telling you that I never want to, you know, blah, 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 see your face again, and I don't want you to do this. He's seeing that I'm recognizing all of it. And he can say, I forgive you for that. But if you just say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Like where, like, what are you sorry for? Difference. Like, what are you, there's such a difference.
And yes, it's a cop out.
It is. And so those are my things. Go to someone who's trusted, make sure they have your best interest at heart, but also the other person's best interest at heart, because it's not fair to be one-sided. Go to the Lord, ask forgiveness, and verbalize those things so that it's all on the table and you can be honest with yourself and with the other person moving forward. Those would be my first steps.
Beautiful. So good. And I'm going to put those in show notes. I think that's huge. And again, I just keep thinking counterculture. I guess I'm just coming across so many people online who are just sharing a message that I think is not helpful. Yeah. And that is, none of us are perfect. It's okay. Yeah. Grace, grace. I call it sloppy grace.
Oh, that's such a good term for it.
I'm like, enough sloppy grace. Yeah, come on. Because there is grace, and none of us are perfect, but goodness, that we could do better, all of us.
Well, and like you're saying, that sloppy grace just allows you to almost, it allows you to stay in it. It gives mm-hmm. you an excuse to stay mm-hmm. in it and not move forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's not worth yes. it.
Exactly. Okay. Well, before you became an author, which you now officially are.
Thank you.
You have a huge following on social media. Mm-hmm. And if anyone hasn't checked out your Instagram feed, they have to, because it is, you could just look at it all day long. But you have to have some method for just balancing, because so mm-hmm. many of us struggle with social media. Mm-hmm. We love it. We hate it. We're entertained by it. It sucks our time and we want to get rid of it. So do you have any wisdom to share with people just from your journey becoming a big deal on social media?
Oh goodness, don't feel like a big deal. I just feel like a little, like a girl in the corner of the internet. But my biggest thing with social media is if it didn't bring me joy, I wouldn't do it. I think social media is this giant thing that is not good in general, if I'm speaking honestly.
Sure.
I also believe in that same sentence that there are pockets of amazing things in social media. Yeah. And as consumers, because that's what we are in social media, we're consuming yes. things. We have mm-hmm. a choice what we consume. And at some point, you just have to make the choice to consume the things that are honoring mm-hmm. others, honoring the Lord, honoring of your time. And if they aren't,
yes.
you have
yes.
to be able to say, that's not it for me anymore. I'm going to let mm-hmm. it go. Now, I could probably go a little overboard here. People would probably be like, Sarah, that's a bit much. Like, you know, don't get into all the cracks. But I even think that's things such as music, like you listen to on Reels. Like for me personally, when I'm making a video and putting music to it, this is a side note, I am very careful. I will literally look up lyrics of a song if I don't know that, even though it has a catchy, you know, summertime, you know, it sounds good for yes. that, you know, 5 second blip. But like, mm-hmm. is there a chorus down there that talks about something that's not honoring? Mm-hmm. And so I just think we can never be too overboard or too cautious when it comes to social mm-hmm. media. And I think we just have to make a choice to say, what's my line and where's my line? And then we have to draw that line. And that's hard to do, especially if you're a people pleaser, especially if you just really mm-hmm. want to like things, especially if you're like, oh, I don't think that really matters much. Like, I think that's a little bit much, you know? I always just try to think of if my kids were around watching this, because they always are, and they hear my phone, if what they heard is what they heard healthy. And if it's not, then do I need to be following that account? Is it something, mm-hmm. even if it's a cute video of a bunny chewing on a strawberry, you know, if it's not something that's like edifying, does it need mm-hmm. to be followed? So I just think, you know, always bump things up against the word of the Lord, like the measuring stick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is it true? Is it honorable? Is it worthy? Is it mm-hmm. all those things that yeah. Paul talked about? Mm-hmm. And if it's not, just dump it. Like, it's not worth your time. Mm-hmm. Just be willing
there's
to dump it. Yeah, there's other yes. things.
So good. That's a really helpful perspective. So I love that. And before we close, do you mind sharing something current or recent from your life that you would call amazing, a pleasant surprise, or something that has caused you wonder?
I love that, because I love that you release that book, both your books. I'm going to go back. Having 6 boys is amazing, and being able to add a little girl to that was pretty, like you said in the beginning, you said, like, you know, what'd you define amazing as? Remind me again, say yep. that for everyone.
A pleasant surprise,
a pleasant
or something
surprise.
That causes wonder. Yes, your daughter had to be
a pleasant surprise that caused wonder, because I had gone from, I really want a daughter so bad. I like, Lord, mm-hmm. I'm praying for that every pregnancy, to I'm good. I don't really need a daughter. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. Just stick me in boy land and I'll stay there.
Right?
So it was, after all, a pleasant surprise, full of wonder. It continues to be, but it wouldn't be that without the boys. So it's the combo of the 6 mm-hmm. in 1 that makes it so sweet.
It is so sweet. Well, we'll send everyone over to just check out all the things you share, and certainly to get their hands on this book, because your struggles are encouraging a lot of people, and I just can't wait to get it in the hands of everyone out there. So
thank you
so much for just being willing to share what God's mm-hmm. done in your life and how you've walked through it. It's really important. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And again, I did take down quite a few notes, and anything else that Sarah and I mentioned, links to where you can find and follow her and get her book are all in show notes at monicaswanson.com/Sarah-Molitor. So thank you so much for being here. We have a great lineup of topics and guests this fall that I can't wait to share with you. I just want to spill the beans and tell you all of them right now, but I'll make you wait. So please do keep coming back week after week. If you haven't clicked on the little plus sign on your podcast app, that's how you follow or subscribe to this podcast. That way they will download every week automatically. Great way to never miss an episode. Also, I just have to say it, if you're not on my email list yet, that's where you want to be. Be sure to join my email list. I take really good care of my email people, and I will never spam you or share your email, I promise. But you can join that weekly email where I share just the important stuff, anything new, fun, updates, good deals, you name it. I try to keep you smiling and encouraged over there. You can join my email list at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Okay, thank you so much in advance for that. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.